You know, as a 32-year-old without a license, who's never driven a car at all, it's pretty clear at this point that I just never will get a license, I don't think. Yet another thing, one of these many, many things where it's like, oh no, how's my life gone off the skids? How weird, how come no one got me to do this? And then, I don't know, as you get older, I guess you just feel more pressure when you're young to conform and to do what everyone else is doing. But then, like I was just listening to the Comedy Button podcast the other day, and Altano mentioned that he doesn't have a car, he doesn't drive. Someone else from that show said the same thing. They're all, you know, in their early 30s. It's not so fucking crazy. It's like some people just do that. It's just, and it's kind of awesome in a way. I mean, I don't know, fuck cars, man. I mean, as a lifelong pedestrian, of course, I'm biased, but I saw this documentary with Brad called Urbanized that's all about cities. There's this one awesome city somewhere in Europe where the mayor basically really has it set up to promote public transit. Like the buses have their own dedicated lanes. It's like a subway. Their buses are like subways. They travel on time. There's no traffic they have to deal with. You know, doors, a bunch of doors that open so people can get in and get out fast. And because it's not a subway line, it's malleable. You know, like if the city center shifts in 30 years, they don't have this crazy expensive subway line that can't move. They can just redirect it somewhere else. And his thinking was like, you know, if you got a bus with 100 people on it and a car with one asshole in it, like, of course that bus should get priority. It should get its own lane. It's the thing that is important here. And it's like, yeah, that's fucking sweet. And then cities that are bike friendly, this other city just like has this huge percentage of people that bicycle everywhere just because it's set up for it. And it's true. Like, you look at people in their cars, like, how crazy selfish. Just you and like maybe one other person in this fucking enormous car using up all this resources, and just like it's ridiculous. So I don't know why I never got a license and never learned how to drive. I know why I don't own a car. I always knew that would never happen. Just I ain't got that kind of money and never will. But so I mean, I didn't get here because I'm some kind of fucking anti-car crusader, but now that I am here, I like that things are moving that way. Like, there's an upside. Anyway, I'm just rambling. Yesterday, I woke up, I have this horrible sleep schedules. I just never know when I'm going to wake up or what's going to happen. So I woke up at 4:30 in the morning and I was like, brain or body, the brain-body dichotomy, this is not cool, man. This is not the time to be waking up. But once I'm awake, like, I'm probably not going to fall back asleep. But then I realized the passport office opens at 8. So I was like, shit, man, if I get my shit together, finish up all my paperwork, I can go get a new passport because my old one got all burned up in my house fire. And I don't want to risk using it at an airport because it's very damaged. Yeah, I did all that, got it all done. And on the way home, I recorded a ham radio. But I did it on my phone, and no more recording on the phone because it was windy. And it is the most maddening thing. It sounded like a tea kettle was going off in the background. But at least that was a relatively uniform frequency. Like, it degraded the sound a lot, but I did manage to pull out the right, you know, bands down on the equalizer to make that more or less go away. But then it kept changing and just subtly shifting frequencies constantly, and it was impossible to pinpoint. Just ruined the whole thing. And it's too bad, because I had some pretty good rambles, I thought, but then today I was like, well, maybe I'll just sort of see if I can recreate them. But already I'm talking about entirely different things. I don't know, it's weird to just go back and try to talk about the same shit. I did notice, though, in the passport office, I guess I don't spend a lot of time dealing with the bureaucracy of normal society, because I basically live off my parents' trust fund, and I mostly just hang out with my friends that we do podcasts and stuff with. It's a fairly controlled environment. I don't have to deal with society at large that much. And I was surprised at just being at this passport office. No big deal. It's not like I'm trying to pull one over on anybody. Like, just get a new passport. All my stuff's filled out. Everything's fine. But just nervous, you know? Everyone is just there. It's like quiet and looking around at each other. Just the whole vibe is very awkward. And I guess it's because, you know, what's going to go wrong? But if something did go wrong and you get rejected and booted out of there, then it's like this shame that you're not conforming to this system, this societal system. And it's like, that's probably not going to happen, but what if that did happen, you know? You would just feel like shit. And it just, I think I'm a little socially anxious, more so than a lot of people, but I think everybody was feeling that. I think that's just kind of normal. It's weird too. I mean, like, people created that whole system to help, you know, to be useful. Here's a passport office. Here's the little system. Now you can go travel to the States and whatnot. But once it, you know, and even though it was created by my fellow people, now that it is created, it's kind of out of everyone's hands, you know? The system just keeps on a rolling. And it's like, I don't worry very much about the future. I really just, you know, societal collapse, economic, whatever, it just doesn't seem real to me. I'm like, how bad are things really? You know, I feel like people choose their own level of worry, like, what's really going to happen? But there are times, like, I'm thinking of, like, that writer Ayn Rand, when I read this biography about her. Just the description of Russia in the early 20th century when she left. A nightmare, just horrifying. Like, hardcore socialism, you know, communism and stuff. That was a system people set up. Seemed like it made some kind of sense. Wasn't necessarily malicious in its intent, but it's like once it's set up and it's kind of out of everyone's hands and it's just rolling, just the horrible things that can happen. You could say the same thing about capitalism, but I don't know, man. I don't think capitalism has ever just widespread fucked everyone like communism did. And it's like, yeah, that happened. That happened because of a bunch of relatively well-meaning, basically able and intelligent people set a system in place that just ground everyone down into nothing. So maybe it's weird to be nervous at the passport office, but maybe it ain't. Maybe that's natural. Anyway, so yeah, that's nothing that I talked about yesterday. Maybe I'll get into that, maybe not, whatever. But I'm going to play the same song that I played yesterday. It's this guy, Miles Kurowski, who is the lead dude in this band Beulah, that I don't know very well, but I like their later stuff, their album Yoko and then his solo album. I guess fans of the band in some ways don't like this stuff as much because it's like darker. It's not that it's dark, it's just darker. But I like that better, just that it's a little more downbeat. It just seems a little more my style than the earlier stuff, which is much poppier and brighter and has a lot of horns. So this is from his solo album, and it's just a really, it's like a fascinating little song. I don't know, it's about a book, and I don't know what book. I looked up online to see if I could find any information about it, and I don't know what it is. But I just really, I like this song. It's like, if you look at the lyrics, they don't look like song lyrics at all. It's just like a little story that he's telling about a story that he's reading. And just the way he places the words and sings them, it sounds like a song. It's real cool. It's called Dead Language Blues. And I like it. After it's done, maybe I'll blab a little more. I'm on my way to the Duff Mall to do some writing, so who knows. Maybe I'll just go there and start writing, and I'll do this later. I guess it's all the same to you, the listener. So why am I over-explaining? All right, here's Miles Kurowski with Dead Language Blues.
Based on a book, based on his life, a song I was hired to write. I stole every line and plot device from his journal that I read at night. The characters were all stiff, robotic horns, but there was one intriguing role, a slick missionary with a penchant for stealing and hypnotizing the girls with boys' names and boys with girls' frames. So I set to work with my blueprint and the aim of a dead poet's pen. I filled my prescription and then a cold boy, Bible black tyrant, was calling my name. He told me he needed someone to detail each moment his history. The ink started flowing. He strays. It's so hard to say if nature has more than a sixth sense of humor. A cold war, Bible black tyrant was taken by him. He told me he needed someone to proofread each sentence, a dead language. The ink started flowing. Felt like a whirlwind. He, just east of Juarez, a border town soiree. He knew it before he could breathe. The air was filled with the smell of baby's breath.
I go into the mall, a little other thought I was just thinking. So what I was saying about, you know, society and the things that it builds, societal systems and how they're out of everyone's hands, and, you know, fear the machine. I guess that's another reason, though, why I don't worry about the future so much, is that human society has got these periods with, like, terrible things that happened and big problems and super atrocities and terrible tragedies. But by and large, en masse, that is not the story of the human race. Like, just the fact that everything I'm looking at right now, you know, buses and cars and streets and parks and a big mall, and everything is basically working. And that is a testament to just how human beings are, I think. Like, I think it's the easy go-to to be like, oh, people are so horrible. Scarborough dude was saying this just the other day, of like, the intrinsic nature of man is to be so bad and to hurt each other and to use fear and pain to dominate. And I don't think that's true at all. I mean, obviously it does happen. And I even think on an individual basis, I think if you really boil down most people's motivations, it's quite self-serving. I don't think most people are, like, fundamentally very great people. But on the whole, cooperating and being part of a society and, you know, if not directly helping each other, because, I mean, I grew up reading Ayn Rand books. I don't believe in that anyway. I don't believe that, she called it rational self-interest, you know, that it's better to look after yourself in a sensible way. Like, that's more helpful to the whole than trying to help everyone else all the time. But whatever we're doing, it obviously works. I mean, the whole world is covered in people that are basically getting along. Like, it's easy to look at the downside, especially if you watch the news and you read newspapers and you focus on that, but it's such a tiny percentage. Because, again, like, so the negative parts of society are, you know, they get away from one, they get out of your hands, it becomes a runaway train. But the good parts are a runaway train, too. Like, that's why I just think it's ridiculous, this idea of big conspiracies and the Illuminati and stuff. Like, if these people really think they have control of the world, they're just kidding themselves. No one has control over this, you know? You can't. It's such a large-scale system. It's impossible for anyone to handle it. I mean, if there was a real Illuminati and they were really in control of stuff, Then what's up with the internet and cell phones and texting? Like, they fucked up big time. They let all that shit get out. It's because they didn't have control of it. No one has control of it. And the fact that no one has control of it and it still works this well, to me, is a real testament to just that whatever people intrinsically are is based around cooperation and building and basically positivity. Because, yeah, the amount that things are out of individual control. I even just think I was listening to some Elliott Smith today and his crazy drug problems and stuff. And you can take it down to, like, my brother's crazy drug problems, anyone's crazy drug problems. You know, in a sense, it's amazing, like, how come people didn't help this person? But how do you, like, even on that one little level of just one person, musicians especially, like, you hear about them all the time, drug problems, overdoses. How come nobody helped them? Well, it's because no one can. You can't. You can't force the hand of even one person. So I think maybe I'm just repeating myself at this point, but just, I don't know, I really think it helped a lot that year, last year when I lived downtown, but I was sleeping on Josephine's couch, and I just spent as much time as possible not being there and just wandering around downtown Toronto and just trying to stay out of her hair. So I was outside and alone a lot more than I would have been normally, and I didn't have any job to go to. It was like extremely isolated, but at the same time, I spent enough time just observing the system of downtown Toronto, just the way people interact, the way things work day to day. It's like the kind of stuff that I'm doing an XO right now about Richard Garriott. He's one of the first private citizens to go into space, and he was talking about how when you're circling the Earth at 17,000 miles an hour and you start to, you know, you just watch the large-scale systems of the Earth, and just by watching them happen, your brain is flooding with this information. You learn more about them than you could ever know by reading a book or by having someone tell you about it. There's just no substitute for experiencing it yourself. And I think it's similar, even though in a way it seemed like a weird waste of a year to just live downtown and not have a job and to just spend so much time by myself. But it's a really unique opportunity. Not many people are able to just spend a year wandering the streets of a world-class city with no obligations. No need to go to a job, no need to be a part of... Because if you're a part of a small system like that, like a job or school, I think it's... Even just your family, it's so hard to see outside of it. You know, like, that becomes your whole world, and you just... You can't see the larger picture. So I don't know if that sounds stuck up or whatever, like, oh, I saw the larger picture that you didn't see. But it did, you know, like, just that information seeped into me over the course of the year, and it just, that's the only way to get it. That's the only way to really, you know, when, like, you know something intellectually, but you gotta kind of keep it in the forefront of your mind and keep it in your thoughts deliberately. It's so different from when you just know something. Deep down, you just know it. Just everywhere you look and everything you see, it's there with no effort at all. It's just become part of how you see stuff. And just watching the system of a human society, of a modern city, is just calming, you know? It's like waves on a beach. It's like, this is fine. This all works. This is nothing to be afraid of or worried about. But again, I mean, it's almost no point in saying it because I can't impart that to anyone just by saying it, you know? All right, I'm at the mall. I'm going to go in. I've played this song many a time. It's The Suburbs by the Arcade Fire. If I remember right, I played the original and two different YouTube covers. This is going to be a third YouTube cover by some girl, I believe it's from the States. I don't remember where from or her name. But it's very nice, and I love this song. So this is The Suburbs by the Arcade Fire, YouTube version number 3. Thank you.
curbside. I learned to drive, and they told me we'd never survive. Grab your mother's keys, we're leaving. So sure that one day we'd be fighting a suburban war. You're part of town against mine. I saw you standing on the opposite shore. By the time the first bombs fell, we were already sometimes I can't believe that I'm moving past the feeling. Sometimes I can't believe that I'm moving past the feeling and into the night. So can you understand? Still young, I wanna hold her hand and show her some beauty before this damage is done. And if it's too much to ask, if it's too much to ask, then send me a sign. Under the overpass, parking lot, we're still waiting, it's already past. So move your feet from hot pavement and into the grass. It's already past, it's already, already past. Sometimes I can't believe that I'm moving past the feeling. Sometimes I can't believe that I'm moving past the feeling and into the night. In my dreams we're still screaming. Ooh, we're still screaming. Still screaming.
All right, just did a couple hours of writing. It's amazing. See, I always used to fancy myself a writer back in the day. I was like, yeah, I'm gonna be a writer. That's what I'm gonna do. And I don't know. I mean, like the story Black Coffee, that is one of the XO episodes. I wrote that in one day. It's just like boom. But that cannot be counted on, because that was a long time ago. It was over 10 years ago I wrote that. And I don't know, I've tried many different things. Got a half written novel, got all kinds of notes for stuff. I guess what I've learned slowly but surely over the past 10 or 15 years is there is simply no end to my potential procrastination. I mean, at this point, it's obvious I could just put off everything forever and just my whole life could be no more writing, you know? Like, it's just easy to not do it because it's difficult. Like, of all the little artsy things that I do, little editing shit and drawing crap and whatever the fuck, I don't really think there's much I can't do, you know? Like, I got interested in indie video game stuff for a while. It's like, if I really put my mind to it, I could learn how to do that. Like, I don't think there's much I couldn't learn how to do. But writing is just, it's the one that requires the softest touch. Like, as soon as I lean on it, I just don't do it. As soon as it seems hard or I have any kind of deadline or pressure, then I can just find a million reasons not to do it. it's so easy to procrastinate from writing. So, I mean, I just didn't. For years and years, it just really never made writing a priority. And just lately, I've gotten into this habit now of just getting out of the house. And it's because of this little phone that I got from Jamhole Matt. It's got a little keyboard. I got a real basic text editor program. Loaded it on some shit, and I can just get out of the house, have no distractions, listen to some music, and just pick away at writing. And the trick is that I've got, like, a few different things I'm working on, and I just put, like, so little pressure on myself. Just all I gotta do is look over my notes. Just open them up and just start glancing a little. Even that, it's hard to do. Like, it's easy to just not want to do it. I don't know why. It's so fucking hard to write. And then, but once I get started, then inevitably, I'll write a little bit, or I'll come up with a new thing, or I'll organize the notes better. Just some kind of progress. And that little bit of progress adds up. Progress. You know, it at least goes somewhere. Like, the littlest amount of progress in a day is still way more than nothing, you know? Like, if I... It's the wrong way to look at it, because the process is the point, but, like, you know, if over the past 10 years I had made this a priority of just to pick away a little bit every day, then I would have stuff actually done. But it doesn't matter. Like, it's not the point to flagellate myself. The point is I'm doing it now. And it's fun this way. Like, the analogy, the metaphor I came up with in my mind was that it's like a bed of nails, you know? If you're just working on one story, and that's, like, all this pressure, and you feel like you should be working on it more, and it's just, that's like driving your hand through a nail. Of course you're not going to do that. That's painful and unpleasant. But if you got a bed of nails, like a bunch of different stories you're working on, and you just a little bit on each one, then yeah, it's like laying on a nice bed of nails. Doesn't break the skin, no problem. And it's nice to just kind of get back into this, to remember this particular discipline, because I am good at it. I think I'm a good writer. I'm just not a fast writer, not a prolific writer. But that's fine. Who gives a shit? As long as I'm doing something, right? So yeah, it's been fun. And I really do just kind of feel... I don't know that it's because of that thing that I always identified myself as a writer, or always wanted to be a writer, or just kind of like the idea of writing and writers. Or maybe it's just because it's, you know, new and shiny that I've dusted off this old discipline and realized I can actually do it. As long as I'm careful with it. But like the XO episodes, I was so super duper proud of those. You know, I'd do one like every month. Then it would be every 2 months, then quarterly or whatever. Like now, oh shit, man, I think it's been like 6 months since I put one out. Just because, I don't know, it's like, maybe it's just not as exciting anymore. Or maybe it's just clear that it's not going to really progress anywhere. Or just that the process itself has become less fun. Whereas this has been very fun to do this writing stuff. Like, this is the thing that if I don't do it now, I feel like I wasted the day. Where if I do, and just at all, get any progress done on writing, I feel like I've done something useful that day. Anyway, this next song has nothing to do with any of that. Yesterday, so the first half of yesterday's podcast, I lost because of the wind. Then the second half was fine. So after this song, then we'll cut to some audio I did yesterday to finish things off. And to bridge it, this is just a song that I like. There's this Canadian band called The Tea Party that for their first three albums, I liked them quite a bit. And then I fell off. Their singles really went to shit. Like, the singles are just turned into real radio, soft garbage, horrible crap. But I never really listened to those later albums. Anyway, going back to these first three albums, I don't know, it's like, I feel like it's a band I should like more than I do. Because listening back, I'm like, yeah, these guys did have a whole bunch of good songs, but I still basically gave each album, like, a couple listens and then deleted them. But their third album, Transmission, I've still got a few songs from that kicking around on here. This isn't even my favorite song on that album, but I think it's just because I kind of forgot about it. I haven't heard it as much as these other ones, so it still seems more exciting to me. It's called Pulse. Pretty neat little song. So let's listen to that. Pulse by the Tea Party. Oh yeah, this band, so they've been around forever in Canada, and I guess they bought the URL, theteaparty.com, way back, 92 or 93 or something, and now there's that silly-ass American political movement called the Tea Party that offered them like $1 million for the website. And last I heard, they sold it. It's like, fuck yeah, man, good move. That's awesome. Like, yeah, so they got the Tea Party music now or something. Who cares? Like, for $1 million just from a bunch of retards, that's fucking great. So cheers to the Tea Party, the band. Congratulations on the money. I am back home now on my fancy pants recorder, and I feel like that's a little bit too short for an episode, so let me just throw in a little bit more music. There's this British band called Gomez that I used to like quite a bit, and I realized I'm like 3 albums behind on them, so I was like, I should catch up on my Gomez. But first I just went back and burned through the first 4 albums, I guess, the ones I did know. I was like, yeah, let's just give those another listen, reacquaint myself with the magical good times. I'm going to play a couple songs from their 3rd album, Abandoned Shopping Trolley Hotline, I think it's called. It's named after if someone tosses a fucking shopping cart in a ravine or something, it's the number you call. to have it reclaimed. There's a little song called Ship Bag that's only 1 minute long, and it's like the most fucking rockin'est 1 minute ever. It's just so cool. I love it to shit. And then they did this thing in their early albums where the first album was called Bring It On, and then the second album had a song on it called Bring It On. Meanwhile, the second album was called Liquid Skin. And then the third album had a song on it called Liquid Skin, and then they stopped doing that foolishness after that. But the song Liquid Skin is real good. Apparently it's about liquid skin is this stuff you can put on your fingers if you get calluses or cuts from playing guitar. You can put the liquid skin on it and it makes a seal over your skin to stop the hurting. But you know, it's like crazy glue type shit. It's got fumes, man. You can get high, sort of, on that shit. So, Ship Bag and Liquid Skin, and then I'll see, let's see if I can find a little more. Maybe one more round of tunes after this to round off the show. Can I go? Gomez song in there. They've got three different singers in Gomez, and I think this song is the same as Liquid Skin. I don't know any other names, but they put out this little EP called Machismo, and there's a song on it called Waster. It's just a real quick, fast little pop song, and just so fucking good, man. So fucking good, you could just bash your goddamn fucking skull to pieces against the side of a Parthenon. It's awesome. It's Waster by Gomez.
I love my life on Mars. House inside a perfect slumber, just like a lucky charm. Keeps the nights from mornings after. No, I find it hard. I might say with a gay abandon, girl, we got it all. A room with a view where the rings are Saturn, girl, we got it all. Come spend your life on Mars. If you taste it, la la la, don't waste it, la la la. If you have the thing you always desire, don't break it, la la la. If you crave her, la la la, don't waste her, la la la. If you have the one you've always desired, don't break her, la la la. I said you with her. You with her. My mind may go astray, but that don't mean that you should follow this road to Mandalay, where you might drown when the water's shallow. And though you'll find it hard, with a gay abandon, the girl, we got it all. On Santa Monica Boulevard, girl, we got it all. Come hang on the boulevard. If you taste it, la la la, don't waste it, la la la. If you have the one you always desire, don't break it, la la la. If you crave her, la la la, enslave her, la la la. If you have the one you always desire, don't break her, la la la.
Batch of songs. I'm cooking, frying up some rice. Hear that? Food. Gonna make some Korean shit, some rice with an egg on the top, that whole deal. So I did this XO episode about Elliott Smith's album XO. I've been working on it forever. It's 95% done, but it's not the next one coming out because it's just a lot of little details, a lot of shit I gotta finish. And, you know, again, why drive myself? What's the point? Who gives a shit? It'll get done when it gets done. But I got all these outtake songs that I didn't use for it. And I was going to do a ham radio of just those outtakes. And I never quite did. Maybe I still will. But instead, I just grabbed a couple of them for now. One of them, I could have swore I played, but I guess not. I must have just put it on my Twitter. It's called Shiva Opens Her Arms, and this is a really old Elliott Smith demo from when he was young. He sounds a little different in the voice. Some people were like, is this even him? I think it's him. But it's a really cool song because it's like got Easter eggs in it. If you're an Elliott Smith fan, you'll recognize shit from Son of Sam, of course, and Last Call. Little lyrics in there and little bits of the song. It's like, it's really cool. Cool little thing to hear. And then I'll finish off with a nice little live song called You Make It Seem Like Nothing. That is just very pretty. Very pretty. And that will do for this episode of Ham Radio. Thank you once again for listening to this podcast. Please enjoy the remainder of your life. I wonder if anyone who listened to this show has died yet. I've been doing it since 2006. I bet somebody died. All right. See ya.
I'm so sick of people asking me, have I seen this guy that I look like, when they mean that he looks like me. Oh, damn it all to hell. No, I wouldn't know him too well, except I broke into his home, and then I broke his collarbone. His curtains hadn't been open in a week or two. And the one picture that the little corndog freaker has of you looks like it's about to fall over. Sure, yeah, it could just be the frame, or it could be the fact that nothing in this house is ever on a level, not even a toilet. Both of you, it's all askew. It'll be wrong forever. I dreamt I threw him tumbling down a hill. And people standing around swear they've never seen blows fall like this. Wherever he lands, stay away, it's gonna be bloody. Oh no, I miss you so. Church bells now, I'm awake, and I guess it must be some kind of holiday. Go tell him that he better behave. It's pretty hard to rise from the grave. I'm just a ghost from the past. Yeah, but you shouldn't have laughed, cause I'll give you the shaft, or maybe I'll sign you up for the draft. I look down, I rip my shirt, and there's blood stains on my fist. And the air in here is like a nylon net. I can throw my fist right through it. Man, did anybody ever tell you that you're kinda like a moth trying to catch the attention of a fair light bulb? All recorded history is just one little dot on this map. Oh, my head feels like a TV store, 20 of the same channels. And let's step outside for some fresh air to some part of the city that you've never seen yet, even though you lived here all your life. You're not even sure who you met or what you like, but you'll wait until morning, less morning now. And if that's the case, you'll spend the night anyhow. Sheba opens her arms now. Some kid's trying to park his car. I may talk in my sleep tonight, cause I like company too. Yeah, I know we're through, but oh no, I miss you so. Thank you.
up on some stupid doubt. You got your hopes set way up high, way on up there where the air is thin. Limit's supposed to be the sky. I'm trying not to let you down again. Starting to come to me, I didn't know about, hadn't figured it out, but it's starting to come to me now, a little bit too late. I can't see anything you've done, any reason for the trouble you got. You haven't hurt anyone. Compared to most, that's saying quite a lot. I can't help you when you're sad. That's a constant source of pain to me, 'cause I want to really bad. Even though you make it seem like nothing, it's starting to come to me. I didn't know about, I hadn't figured it out, but it's starting to come to me now, a little bit too late.